part of our continuing Decision 2008 coverage here on News Talk 1120 KMOX. I'm happy to welcome back Senator Claire McCaskill, Democratic Senator from Missouri, to the Paul Harris Show. Senator, how are you this afternoon?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. When I left here on Friday, I recorded a promo that you'd be on the show today, and in the promo I said, she hasn't declared who she's for this year, but she'll have a lot of insight into the presidential campaign. And then you go out yesterday and announce that you decided to endorse Senator Obama, and I had to kill our promo here. So explain to me, if not to the rest of Missouri, explain to me what made you change your mind at the last minute.
Well, it's a combination of things. Honestly, my 18-year-old daughter sat watching me cry when Obama was giving his speech after he won Iowa. And she looked over at me and she said, Mom, I don't understand, you know, why aren't you working for him? And, you know, it's just like one of those moments where you kind of go, yeah, you know, she's right. I am really enthusiastic about who this leader is and what he represents to our country. I figured out pretty quickly when I got to Washington, it's pretty broken. And it's going to take somebody with some bold ideas, with a fresh perspective, somebody who is more interested in getting things done than trying to make the other guy look bad. And I've watched the way he's run his campaign. He had a lot of pressure on him to go negative on Hillary Clinton back when she was ahead by 20 points, and all of his advisors were telling him, you've got to go for her kneecaps, you've got to bring her down. And he wouldn't do it. And he withstood that pressure, and it's a significant amount of pressure. And watatching him stay on the high road and watatching him touch people over the last 6 months, he's a friend, and I think he's really smart, and I think he'd be a terrific president. I think it would speak volumes to the rest of the world about who we are as a country if we could elect him as our leader.
Had you been considering endorsing Senator Clinton?
Well, no, honestly, I have, you know, Barack and I became friends. He campaigned for me in Missouri often. We immediately worked together on the Wounded Warriors Act right after the scandal at Walter Reed. He and I joined up and were able to get some pretty significant changes in the law as it relates to medical care for our active military. We worked together on the ethics legislation early in the session. And my neutrality was out of respect and deference for Hillary Clinton. She is a strong leader, a smart woman, and would also be a very good president. So really, I was trying to stay neutral because I worked with both of them. But in the end, my heart pulled me onto the playing field, and I'm going to try to do what I can. But frankly, Paul, I mean, let's be honest about this. I'm not sure these endorsements mean much. I mean, it's kind of in some ways, an ego exercise, but I know the voters of Missouri, and they're very independent, and I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference to them who any of us endorse. But it has gotten me some peace and quiet at home because my teenagers have gotten off my back.
Do the campaigns court you for your endorsement?
Oh, to some extent. I think that, and frankly, I mean, if there is a practical side of any of the endorsements now, I do think this is a delegate race now. I think people are beginning to look at Super Tuesday a little differently because I don't think it's clear that one candidate is going to dominate this primary cycle on either side, on either the Democrat or Republican side. And I think that, it's going to be now like tallying up delegates. And obviously, all of the superdelegates, if you tally up how many delegates you need to win the nomination, that's around 2,000, and about 40% of that number could be superdelegates if they all were to vote for one candidate or the other. So I think that to some extent both campaigns are courting the superdelegates because they know that they will not change their endorsement based on what their primaries do in their states.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, who over the weekend announced her endorsement of Senator Barack Obama for the nomination of the Democratic Party. And you say you don't think these endorsements really convince voters to choose one or the other, but do you think not getting behind the woman in the race will hurt you with Missouri women?
Oh, I'm sure there will be some of my supporters who are disappointed, and I'm sure there will be some people who will, be angry and upset with me. But you know, what I've tried to do in the way I've voted in Washington and the way I've held office, I've always tried to do what I think is right. And, you know, through the process, you know, you get people mad. It's awful hard to get things done and make everybody happy. It's awfully hard to be a leader and make everybody happy. So I hope at least people respect the fact that I've took a stand, and there is some political risk involved, obviously. But I just feel like I'm really blessed to have the opportunity to participate at the level that I can, and I ought to take advantage of that opportunity.
What do you make of the remarks this weekend that have drawn some controversy by Bill Clinton calling Obama a fairy tale, or his campaign, or parts of his campaign a fairy tale, and Hillary Clinton invoking the Martin Luther King LBJ argument? What does all of that mean?
Well, I think President Clinton was very frustrated, and in the closing days of the New Hampshire campaign, when it looked like things could implode, I think he was reaching and probably said some things that went a little far. What Senator Clinton said about Martin Luther King and Lyndon Johnson, I honestly believe she didn't mean it in any way to denigrate Martin Luther King. I think it was one of those things that was, she probably just didn't say it as well as she wanted to. And I think the way she said it could be interpreted easily as being denigrating Martin Luther King and by association, Barack Obama. I don't think she meant it that way, honestly. I think she has a lot of respect for Martin Luther King and who he was in our country, and I think she reveres him. Now, the problem is, instead of just saying, I made a mistake in the way I said it, and I'm sorry I said it that way, this is what I don't like about politics. Instead of just owning up that, you know, you can't say everything perfectly every time. Instead of just owning the mistake, you know, what she tried to do is make it look like that Barack Obama's campaign had somehow done this to her. That's the kind of politics I'm talking about. This politics of when anything bad happens, you know, you've got to figure out a way to blame it on the other guy. Let's, like, try to reflect back on the other candidate we're trying to beat instead of trying to take the best of what people, of what they believe in and reflecting it out towards them in a positive way, which I think Barack Obama does a masterful job with. So I think the only mistake that Hillary Clinton made about that comment was just not owning up that she didn't say it exactly right and apologizing for the way she said it and moved on. Instead, she's now trying to make it look like Barack Obama has, quote, done this to her, which I think is kind of silly.
You mentioned his victory speech in Iowa, which the next day I said it was one of the most inspirational speeches I've seen a politician give in a very, very long time. And you said that was one of the things that inspired you to go forward with your endorsement, particularly at the behest of your 18-year-old daughter. But tell me what it is specifically, not about the inspiration, but about the issues, about what Barack Obama stands for that you think make him the guy to lead this country.
Well, you know, I think it's really important for people to know that, yes, he is an incredibly gifted orator, and he can, in fact, lead by the way he makes people feel when they listen to him speak. And I think we should be respectful of that. In our history, our nation, there have been many moments where our leaders have been able to capture the essence of our country with their words. And so, yes, that's a very important part of who he is, and it would be an important part of his ability in terms of being a diplomat for our country, the way he is viewed in other countries, how he could communicate with people in order to get their support and their backing. But people should not underestimate the intellectual capability of this man. I don't think many people realize that when you get selected to be president of the Harvard Law Review, it is in a blind competition. In other words, you are selected based on your writings, and when they select the winner, they do not know who it is. So this was not an issue where he was given some kind of advantage because he was an African American man. He is brilliant, and he is also somebody who's not afraid to kind of go against the grain and be independent. He is not afraid to reach out to Republicans. I've watched him do it. I've watched him work with Republicans. I think he has a great deal of respect among our Republican colleagues for the way he handles himself. He is always trying to find a way that we can agree rather than trying to focus on a way that we can disagree. He doesn't believe in triangulation. And I think that's what we need right now in Washington. I think we need someone who hasn't been there so long that the only way they see their way out of a problem is the way that we typically try to do it in Washington, D.C. So I think that is really the reason I think he's the right man at the right time.
But aside from the inspiration and the bipartisanship, give me specific issues where you think Barack Obama is so right for America.
I think he's one of the things he worked on really hard this year, and I watched him do it, was the ethics legislation. He understands that until we conduct ourselves in a way that make Americans proud of who we are, that we don't have much hope of really getting things done. And I think he sees that ethics law as an important down payment on trying to get the respect of the American people after so many scandals and so many outrageous things that have happened with some of our elected officials. I think it was very brave and powerful of him to be opposed to the war in Iraq before the vote was ever taken to go into Iraq. I think that is something that showed that he was thoughtful and didn't believe that the case had been made, when so many of us, frankly, were reacting based a lot on the fear of what happened in 9/11, what happened on the September 11th and the attack our country suffered. I think that there was some we're not sure, but we're going to go ahead and go to war because, gosh, you know, this is a scary time. And he had the judgment, even being a very young man and somebody who'd never been to Washington, to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't think the case has been made. I think that says something about who he is. And I think that would be something, that kind of judgment is what we need right now.
Here we are in the 232nd year of our democracy, the United States of America, and it's been all white guys running the country thus far in the Oval Office. Is America ready to elect a black president?
Oh, I think so. I frankly think America is ready to elect either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. And that's the very exciting thing about this election. For so many reasons, this election is terrific. It's wide open on both sides. I think we've had more debates. I think America is paying closer attention than maybe ever before. We're seeing record high participation so far in the primaries that have occurred in Iowa and New Hampshire. I have every confidence that we're going to have a record turnout for our primary on February 5th, and for Illinois primary on February 5th. So I think America is ready. I think that, and I'll tell you one thing that Barack Obama does I think is very important. He comes at this race from the position of wanting to be a leader and not a victim. I think that there have been political leaders that have been African American that have, and I understand it, because they came up through a system where they were fighting for every crumb off the table. They were fighting just to get into the room, to be part of the discussion. And when you have to fight like that, I think there is sometimes a tendency to come from the position of being a victim. And Barack Obama is someone who speaks to all of America as a leader and doesn't come from the position of being a victim. He sees himself as a great example of what America is capable of. This is not somebody who had privilege. This is not somebody whose family got him into a prestigious Ivy League school. This is somebody who, through his intellect and through his ability and the gifts God gave him, has risen to the very top of our country, and that's uniquely an American story and one that I think America's ready to embrace.
Senator, you're in your first term in the United States Senate. You've been there for a couple of years now. Is that enough experience to become president?
Well, I don't think, in and of itself, I think you've got to look at Barack's life experience. He has certainly been in the Senate for less time than Hillary Clinton has been in the Senate, but not by a long margin. She's been there. She's in the beginning of her second term. He is almost through his first term. So she's cast a few more votes than he has. But in terms of the workings of the Senate, in terms of learning how the process works, I think his grasp of it is certainly as significant as hers is. And, but he's also had legislative experience at the state level, which she has not had, and that's important. It's important to understand the dynamic between serving in a state legislature and serving in Congress in Washington. He's also had life experience that I think is important. He had a choice when he got out of Harvard Law School. Can you imagine what kind of salary he could have commanded in New York at one of those big firms? I mean, he could have made a lot of money coming out of Harvard when he did. Instead, he went back to Chicago and began to work in the community firsthand, organizing, helping people at the neighborhood level to find the American dream in neighborhoods that were very challenged. And so I think his life experience has prepared him for this. And I think the fact that Hillary Clinton was first lady and she had a ringside seat to the presidency, I think is important. And I think it is valuable experience. But I don't think that anything in Barack Obama's background is something that should be slighted. I think he's had significant experience, and I do think he's ready.
Who do you see as the most formidable Republican in the race, the one you don't want to be the nominee?
Oh, you know, that's awfully hard. You know, I certainly I get along with John McCain. He's another senator who doesn't do earmarking, which I have refrained from participating in. He's definitely been a maverick. He's kind of my kind of guy in terms of being independent and willing to kind of break rank when he thinks it's important. And so, you know, I think he's a formidable candidate because of that independence. I think Americans are pretty good at smelling that on somebody, and I think they will sense his independence as they will Barack's. I think that would be I think he'd be a tough candidate. But by the way, is that so bad? I mean, you know, the worst thing that happens is that a Republican gets elected to the presidency. I mean, that wouldn't. Do I want the Democrat to win? Of course. Is it the end of the world if a Republican wins? Of course not. It's more important that we get somebody in the presidency that will listen and that is intellectually curious and that is smart and understands diplomacy and is willing to pay attention to the middle class instead of just Wall Street. And I hope that John McCain would be that if he won. You know, but I think that the Democrats have a great chance this year to win the presidency regardless of who they nominate. I think probably John McCain would be the toughest, though.
You know, the entire Missouri Democratic Party hierarchy is clutching their chests right now. Because you just say, well, you know, if a Republican won, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Well, I think we need to be. I always try to be really honest about this stuff. And
I appreciate that. I appreciate
well,
that.
You know, and yet, of course, I think that in terms of policies, it's important. I mean, John McCain thinks that we need to stay at the current levels in Iraq as long as it takes. And clearly, I fundamentally disagree with that, as does Barack Obama, as do, you know, John Edwards and Hillary Clinton. So, you know, I think that the Democratic nominee is going to represent more of a change in this country than what we have from what we have right now, and I think it's important that they win. But I do think that John McCain's a good man, and I think that he is has an independent nature and is willing to tell people to kind of hey, go fly a kite if he thinks they're wrong about things. And I think that's an important characteristic in a president, too.
I know you're very busy. I got to ask you one non-campaign question, though. President Bush is in Saudi Arabia today, and the White House announced that he is going to probably approve a $20 billion weapons sale to the Saudis. What do you think of that and our relationship with Saudi Arabia?
Well, you know, my preference, and I think this is where people really do need to take a look at the Democratic nominee for president versus the Republican. It would have been better had we spent more time working on our relationship with our moderate Arab neighbors prior to our invasion into Iraq. And I think now we're trying to stabilize the region, catch as catch can, because we haven't done the basic diplomacy that is necessary to maintain our allies and our strong relations. On its face, I am not opposed to the sale. I would want to take a close look at any of the conditions that we're setting on the sale in terms of what agreements Saudi has made in connection with the sale. before I would, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty of it. But Saudi Arabia is one of our allies in the area, and clearly we need them right now. We've got big trouble over there. This war in Iraq did not make us safer in terms of what is going on in the Middle East with Afghanistan and Pakistan and the continued problems with Hezbollah and Lebanon and Syria and Iran. You know, we need to have friends over there. And selling weapons to our friends is something this country has done for many, many years and will continue to do. I just hope that we've got the right contingencies on the sale if it occurs.
I just wish we made a contingent on them cracking down on their Wahhabists and their madrasas and their human rights violations and all the things that they claim to be our partner in peace, but they are, of course, the place where Al-Qaeda was born and continues to fester in large ways. But we'll have to talk about that next time you're on. I thank you very much for your time today.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.
Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.